DealerProcessSecrets.com.
Yeah, boy. Motorcycle sales, car sales, the finance office,
central desking. We're here to talk about it.
BDC, Central Desking University.com.
All right, let's get into it.
Hey, everybody, Philip here. Welcome to Dealer Process Secrets. First thing first, ain't no nation like a donation. Hit that donate button, or you can make a donation at our webpage at DealerProcessSecrets.com. We bring this show to you for free. What else is free? Well, my book is free, plus shipping at DealershipProcessSecrets.com, and my audiobook is totally free for our listeners at PhilipCheatham.com. Use one or two L's, and you should get there. Also, our newsletter is free at theautomotivesoftware.com. So if you want to support us, send us a donation, buy a sweatshirt. You can, of course, go pay full retail for my book or audiobook at Amazon and Audible. That supports us too. And of course, as always, going to centraldesking.com and starting your free trial of the Daily Desk, which is free too. But I guarantee if you try and watch my tutorials in there, you'll become a paying customer, which supports us too. And finally, if you want to take your skills to the next level, no matter where you are, the courses I teach at Central Desking University will blow your socks off. So please support us however you can. We are here to bring you exclusive, hard-hitting, real content that will actually help you go harder and higher in your career inside this crazy business we all love so much. And the best way to support us is, of course, by letting others know about us. And you do that by sharing the links, liking us on social media, and, of course, recommending the Daily Desk and Central Desking University to your friends. So we appreciate all your support, and let's get into it. Welcome to episode 19 of Dealer Process Secrets. Today's show is the follow-up process that only top-performing dealerships are doing regularly and how you can start doing it today. I'm here with my co-host Sterling and Brian. What's happening, guys?
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, Phil.
What's going on? So we come at you every Monday and Wednesday. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, etc. Anyway, getting into this, what I'm about to share with you will boost your closing ratio of your sit downs instantly and noticeably. So what I call your step fives. Very few dealerships are utilizing this process. It's not a coincidence that they are all top performing stores and or stores that have recently started growing their business at an exponential rate. So one single process. There are only a few things that I would implement before this process, and only one thing you must do to make this process possible. Very simple, doesn't require a lot of time or talent. This process is called the U-turn call. So before I get into it, I know both of you guys are familiar with this because I talk about it a lot. You guys have seen me doing it. So what do you guys have to say about it?
I think it's brilliant. I hadn't heard about it until you went over it with me. So It has not been a part of my process for the better part of a decade as I've been doing automotive. But when you shared it with me, it's probably been a couple of years now. I was very impressed. It's not a lot of work, and I'm sure we'll get into the details a little bit more. I would summarize it by saying it's being able to take an additional turn, and that this additional turn is going to reveal something, and it can potentially save the deal before you have to have your save a deal meeting. So I love it.
Probably my favorite part of your book. I didn't even know it was a thing. You know, it's something that I used to do at my stores, but you know, I kind of did it on a limited basis. It was usually if someone got walked without a turn, I would do it. You know, if we did a turn, then I would, you know, probably not do it. And I probably should have done it, but you know, listening to how you created it and the process that you went through and how you did it, I think it's gold.
Thank you. And yeah, in my book, Dealership Process Secrets, the chapter's called Tsunami. You can listen to it for free at philipcheatham.com. You can go right to philipcheatham.com. All it does is have you put in your email address and you can listen to just that chapter if you like. So there's more information on this. And we do have a free report at centraldesking.com under the free reports tab, where lays out this whole process so that you can actually implement it into your store. So we do have that information already available online. I want to throw that in there. But jumping into really what it is and the difference between a U-turn call and a third-party call is the first thing I want to get into. And there's two things that make a U-turn call a U-turn call. The first thing is time.
So a U-turn call is a U-turn call because it's made within a time frame when your customer can still make a U-turn and come back to the dealership. So if it's not made in a time frame where the customer has already gotten home and they can't come back to the dealership, it's not a, it's, you've already passed the time of this being able to be called a U-turn call. The second thing is who makes the phone call. So U-turn calls are only U-turn calls if they're made by somebody that wasn't involved in the deal and wasn't there talking to this customer before they left the dealership. And it's only a U-turn call if this customer has entered a negotiation. So it's really three things. So time, they can make a U-turn. Who calls them? So it can't be if I just shook their hand and I'm the sales manager or the salesperson or a finance guy, I can't call the customer. We're going to get into the why on that one. And the third thing is they must have entered a negotiation. The U-turn call is not going to work. It's not, you're not in a deal when a customer leaves that hasn't sat down and looked at numbers. So that's got to make sense to even to begin with. You're not in a deal, so this isn't even applicable to somebody that didn't sit down, look at numbers, and then leave. So,
cannot emphasize the importance of that enough, because this is essentially, like I said, you're saving a deal before the save the deal meeting, but you can't save a deal if it's not a deal.
And so, you do even more than that. So and a third party can make this phone call. But I just want to point out, a lot of people have like that third party calling in the 48 hours or 72 hours. And sometimes it's like, do you do U-turn calls? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're doing them. So point out those three things. And thank you, Sterling, for highlighting how important those three things are to actually make this a U-turn call and how we're going to get into how this works. Let's jump into the script I use. This is the script I use exactly. I'm just going to give it. And it's also in, I believe it's in my book. I'm not sure.
I was going to say, I think it's in the book.
Yeah, it's in the book, but it's also at centraldesking.com. So really, this is the exact script I use. Hello, this is Philip Cheatham from Mount Everest Bugatti. I saw that you made a visit to our dealership today. I just wanted to make sure my team was kind and courteous. How was your visit? And you shut up and let the customer talk until they finish. Some will talk a lot. Some will talk a little. Basically, you're just going to be quiet and shut up. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, you understand the importance of that after you said that word track. So whatever they say, the next thing, no matter what they say, next you will ask, were you able to get in a new car, in a new boat, in a new RV, on a new bike today? And you're going to say this knowing that they weren't. You wouldn't be making this U-turn call if they had bought a bike or a car. So you say this knowing they're not able to complete a transaction. The only customers you can make a U-turn call to did not leave with a vehicle. They looked at numbers and left and didn't make the deal. So after you say, were you able to get in a new car or on a new bike today? Again, we're going to shut up and let the customer talk until they finish. Again, some will talk a lot, some will talk a little. At this point, you're going to find out one of three things. You knew exactly where you were in this deal. I'm going to say this happens about 50 to 85% of the time, depending on your dealership's push to make every deal. The second thing is you knew where you were, but gained more information. This happens 10 to 45% of the time. So this is going to be, you were pretty much accurate, but you got an extra piece of information, and we can get into that too. The third thing is you find out you had no idea where you were on this deal. And this is going to happen 10 to 15% of the time across the board, depending on how organized your store actually is and how much people are pushing to get deals. I might walk into a store where this happens 50% of the time, and you know, you've got a huge opportunity there. But I'm going to say in most instances, if you just start doing this process, you're going to have a deal where you were totally off. We're going to get into how this happens, of where you thought you were, why this customer left, and then what you find out on this U-turn call. And it's about 10 to 15% of the time. And it's a personality type. It has nothing to do with you. Isn't that cool? And we'll get into talking about that. So before I jump in here, either one of you guys got anything on everything I just said?
Spot on.
I like personality types. I used to go back, like when you touched on personality types, I used to, you know, preach that there was four personality types, and I'd go off the DISC profile, which, you know, D was dominant, I was influence, the S and the C were like the more analytical or more quiet. And I would say that, you know, the customers that we're talking about might fall into those last two personality types. These are the people that will buy a car and you'll say, well, how was it? How does it, you know, how do you feel about your car? And they'll say, oh, it'll work, or it'll, you know, it'll do, but they have like not so much enthusiasm about it. It's more of a, like a function of the vehicle. And, you know, these personality types exist. And sometimes the only way that you get at them is through what we're talking about.
So I'm going to tell you exactly who they are. And are you ready to have your mind blown of who this person is? Because you picked this deal up and it's going to show you exactly about how many times you're losing this deal. And this process will get this deal back into your dealership that I'm about to share with you. So the customer that comes into your store and says so-and-so down the street wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that, can you help me and sell me a car? And it's usually something so silly that you're like, wow, did they really do that to that customer? And it doesn't make sense. But what do? You just go about your business and you thank the car gods for giving their customer to you, and you sell them a car and you go about your day, right?
Right, right.
That same customer that came in and did that to you, your customer is going out and doing that to other dealerships and you don't know why. And the first, I'm telling
it's
you right.
It's a funny thought. It's a funny thought.
Okay. It's the personality type that I'm about to share with you. I uncovered this with this process with the U-turn call. The personality type is a passive personality. They don't like any sort of conflict whatsoever. So what happens is they say something like, can I put those wheels on that car? And the salesperson does what they're supposed to do, try to diffuse that as an objection in most stores and sell what's available, how it's available, and not add, you know, taking wheels off a car and putting them on another car. And this customer, if they really want that, and that is their button, and the salesperson says that, they won't ask again because they don't like to be confrontational. So instead, they'll make up a totally different story. And a big one that this happens on is the new to used. So you'll uncover in your store, if you've got, this is another interesting point. If you've got a great new to used transition in your store, so you're taking people off of used and putting them on new, and you're doing that well, you're actually going to uncover this personality type that came in to buy a used, and your staff did what they were supposed to do and tried to sell them a new, and they're going to tell the U-turn call, I came to the dealership and tried to buy a used and they wouldn't let me. And they're also going to walk into another dealership and they're going to say, I went to that dealership and tried to buy a used one and they wouldn't let me. I went to that dealership and all I really want is these wheels on this one and they wouldn't let me do it. And you at the other dealership imagine that there was some big back and forth on this. There wasn't. This is what happened. And this customer without the U-turn call will never come back to your store. With the U-turn call, they haven't had enough time to let any story be brought up in their head to tell a story. So when that third party calls them and says, thank you for visiting our store today. Were you able to get on a new motorcycle? Were you able to get in a new car? Whatever it is, they're going to literally spew what really happened instantly. And this goes for every customer, not just this personality type. So, but most customers, you may find out extra information. You may find out where you were at. And what Sterling was talking about in the Make a Deal meeting is that you've got your U-turn call notes from every customer that left yesterday, right, and didn't come back, that answered the phone for the U-turn call, of course, because not everyone's going to answer the phone. So that's a real part of this process. But this process is so simple, you don't even need salespeople to do it. And it makes a huge impact, even if we find out where we were in the deal. Because what does that do? That gives us confidence that we know, look, we got this far in the deal. Somebody else called them, found out the same information we already had. What do we have now? Total confidence. We're not asking any questions. We know where we're at to move forward to try to make this deal. A little bit of extra information, duh, no brainer. It's awesome. Stuff like, you know, we didn't even know that. Asking the mom for money comes up. Weird things will come up. Little pieces of extra information that you'll get, which is cool. This one, obviously, is a customer that you will never see back in your store if you're not making this phone call. Because this guy's going to go home, or this customer, couple, whatever, is going to go home. They're going to get on the computer and they're going to find a similar car, or they're going to find another dealership that'll do it, or they'll just drive over to the next dealership and they'll use that instead of ever being confrontational with anybody. They'll just blame it on you that you wouldn't let them do what they want to do. And then that dealership will just make it happen for them, just like you have before. And we all have before when this customer came to us. So pretty cool stuff there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, absolutely.
This customer does exist. This customer that's non-confrontational. We assume that customers are always going to give us some pushback, but there are customers out there that don't give pushback. They just kind of walk away. And this is a great way to capture that customer.
And I talk about this customer just because it's such a high percentage. I really want to say it's 10 to 15% of your customers are this customer. That's such a high percentage, but there's so much more in there, right?
It usually happens that they don't like the car or they don't like the salesperson. That's kind of the main objection, but you're right. There's a small percentage of people that they just aren't confrontational.
You will get customers back also that just thought the negotiation went a little bit wrong, right? There's a lot of other things that'll happen where you'll get customers back. You can obviously imagine when you start making this call. The reason I focus on this one customer is because if you're not doing this call, you're losing this customer. And it's almost like we don't know they exist because I didn't finalize what actually happens. Is if you call this customer in 48 hours or you call this customer in 72 hours, they've already gone to another store. They've made up a story that they're going to tell you. And it's going to be the same story they told you before. You're never going to know. Now, if you call them when they're walking out of the store, and if you put yourself in your own shoes, if you're walking out of a store and someone calls you as you're going to your car, or you're even, two stoplights up, I say within about 10 or 15 minutes, this call needs to be made. So you make the call within 10 or 15 minutes. They haven't had enough time to not go to the third party person how they really feel, because that's not confrontational. It's a third party. They will tell them. And they haven't had any time to even make up a lie yet. Now, once enough time's gone by, they've gone home, gone on the computer, found a new car, and now they're coming. Now they've come up with a story. So if someone calls them, they're just going to go back to their old story, come up with a new story. And the truth is, they're buying somewhere else.
You described a scenario that dealerships are actively participating in. And what they're doing is, if they aren't participating in this U-turn program, then the customer leaves, this reserved customer who doesn't tell you what they're really thinking, what's really going on, and then you're just sending them back out into the world to go interact with other dealers and have that repeat experience, because the customer is 100% unaware that they're creating this terrible situation that they're in. They force this to be the response they get from the dealer, but then they don't tell the dealer what's really going on. So they just go from dealer to dealer to dealer until they eventually kind of wear themselves out. And then they maybe get a car, but they're unhappy with it. And then that dealership's going to get a bad survey and they have no idea. So this is a great thing for all parties involved.
Yeah, and if you want further confirmation that this customer exists, how many times have we been the benefactor of someone walking in saying some crazy statement about something that a dealer did to them that, it just doesn't make sense to us. And we make a deal where the other dealership didn't. I mean, that's total confirmation that this happens.
Yeah, and it happens quite a bit. However much you see it happen is pretty similar to what you're making it happen on the other end of it. This is the only process I've seen that catches it. You're absolutely right, Brian. I mean, the proof is right there in front of you when this happens to all of us. And the thing that we never do is investigate it, right? We just get excited that it happened. So we don't go and like try to find out. I promise you, if you take that customer and really try to go find out the next time something crazy like that happens, where you're like, I don't think they would have said that or not let him do that, whatever, just sell it, get it out of here, right? This would be my reaction if I'm just sitting there in the heat of the moment in the dealership. But if you do want to go investigate it, I guarantee you it's something similar to what I'm talking about right here, because I mean, it's uncovered. And to what Sterling was saying is, what this customer was doing, if you really want to look at it, I mean, they're not doing it at the dealership. This customer is probably doing the same thing at the dry cleaners. You can go back to the personality type of the customer. That's the opposite of this person. That's always squeaky, right? Everybody already knows that guy. We can talk about my favorite thing about that guy. The guy that people say they don't want to do business with, that's the last thing you ever want to say. If you ever get to that point, this is something totally different. If you ever get to that point where you're like, I don't want to do business with this guy, that's the guy you should beg to do business with. Here's a trick. That guy, I guarantee you everybody else knows is extremely hard to do business with that knows that guy. So if you can sell that guy a car or you can sell that guy a house, all their friends are going to go, oh my goodness, if even the neighbors, the people they work with are going to, everybody that knows this guy, okay, and I'm talking the opposite of this personality type, is going to go, if they can make him happy, they can make me happy. So it may irk us, but that person that is the most difficult person to deal with, that is the guy you really want to figure out a way to make happy. And then at the end of the day, what are you doing? You're improving your skill set of dealing with that personality type, right? And you're making it, you know, you're getting better. So, I mean, you're put into a new situation with someone similar and, you know, you're going to kick ass. And that's the whole point of this show. So one more thing I wanted to talk about before we end this and just give you all this information on this U-turn call is your CRM is not going to allow you to make all this happen quickly enough and effective. But the process is seamlessly implemented, monitored, and backstopped using the Daily Desk available at centraldesking.com. We have tutorials inside our software to show you exactly how to implement this process. So I gave you the exact script I use. I gave you the entirety of the process. Unfortunately, this process will not stick and really isn't possible using any of the available CRMs on the market for dealerships or otherwise. The main reason is the long 3-minute plus update speeds in the information and people having to sit there and hit refresh and a lot of other reasons why your team is actually going to use the Daily Desk. You need an active desk log to make this process work. There isn't any other way to make sure not only does the call happen, but that you have the relevant information quickly enough for the third party from the manager of the deal that just left. And you need notes on the specific deal and everything else. So I urge you to download your free trial of the Daily Desk at www.centraldesking.com. So you guys got anything else?
I think that was great.
Awesome. And for further information, once again, on this topic, www.centraldesking.com. We've got the Central Desking U-turn call. You can download it. It's a PDF. And you can also go to www.philipcheatham.com. And you can listen to the chapter Tsunami, where I write about how I came up with this entire thing. And obviously, I know there's other dealers out there that were doing this, but you know, we all stumble into things. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you guys for being on the show with me today. And have a great day.
Have a good one, guys.
See you later.
DealerProcessSecrets.com.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. Motorcycle sales, car sales, the finance office.
Central Desking. We're here to talk about it.
BDC. CentralDeskingUniversity.com.
All right, let's get into it.